We are pleased to have one of our own ministering this morning, which is Sandy Nemeth. And Sandy is, of course, our director of worship. You see her up on the stage almost every weekend. And she is a real blessing to this church and has a long-time relationship with Koinonia. I just want to tell you for a moment, for some of you that may not be familiar with who she is and some of her ministry and background, but Sandy's been in the ministry for more than 20 years, is both a pastor and as a missionary. We first came to know her, my family, in Mexico as we were there as missionaries, and she is just a real powerful woman who has experienced lots of seasons of life and lots of ministry. And she ministers, of course, in worship, but she's also a speaker that travels throughout Mexico and other parts of the world as well as the United States. She's an in-demand speaker in both worship conferences and women's conferences. And we don't get to hear from her as often, really, as we'd like, because she really is a gifted speaker. Sandy has been married. You might be wondering, as she comes up to speak on this topic of sex and high def, she's single right now, but she has been married, so we want to let you know that she does have some experience in this department. And she and her husband were pastors together for a number of years and ministers at Christ for the Nation. And because of some mistakes in her husband's life, he fell into moral failure and they had to separate. But she is a real woman who has experience and is a wonderful speaker. So would you please welcome Sandy as she comes up to speak on this topic of sex and high def.
Thank you, Andrew. Did you want to take the offering?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Go ahead.
Sandy, the commensurate knowing of all things, she reminded me that we hadn't taken the offering. So, of course, we can't forget to take the offering. So if the ushers come forward and if you did bring gifts or if you filled out your card for a prayer, a request, or anything else, just drop them in the buckets. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Am I on? Am I loud? One person said yes. Kind of, sort of. Am I loud? Is that better? And how are you all awake? Are you ready? You know, I got a phone call from Pastor Tim this morning about 7 o'clock, and he said, I just want to encourage you to go ahead and say whatever you want to say, because we need all the advice that we can get. And I thought, well, good, that really writes me a free ticket right there. But it was just a blessing to hear from him. And I have been chosen in this series to accomplish the extremely difficult task of explaining women. And I have to say right now that it will be impossible to do that in about 40 minutes, okay? The job of explaining women, especially in the sexual aspect of relationships, is something that usually takes a lifetime for most of us to figure out, especially the men. If you open your bulletins, you will see the little bulletin insert. You will see the sentence that says, "What in the world is one flesh to a woman?" Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you have actually asked yourselves this question, but I do know from traveling and ministering, and I have spoken with many pastors, with many people in many churches. I have talked to married couples. I have talked to women. I have asked all kinds of questions. I have talked with people on airplanes. I have talked with people in airports. And I know that there are many people out there that women, we are very puzzling to men. Sometimes, yes, that was a good place for some of y'all to say amen. Sometimes we are very frustrating to men. Is that true, gentlemen?
Yeah,
amen. Yes, amen. I mean, we're going to be real this morning. Is that okay? And so what I'm going to endeavor to do today in about 40 minutes is to explain some of the dynamics of what women want. Now, that should ring a bell to some of you out there, because that was the fairly recent title of a movie. And it was actually a story where, through an electric shock, somehow this man was able to begin reading the minds of women. And so all of a sudden, he figured out that what they were thinking and what they were saying were sometimes two entirely different things. How many of you have ever done that before? And that is very true for women. And for men, may I add, because we speak different languages. But I want to talk to us this morning, and if you see that little code, now don't spend a lot of time looking at the code, there is an encrypted message in there, all right? See if you can figure it out. It might take some of you a few days. Okay? But we are going to go ahead and talk this morning about women. And I want to, first of all, direct us to the book of Genesis, because this is where it all began. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, if we have them, to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Because we have to understand, first of all, what God did when he made women. The Bible says right here, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God caused," and I jumped around right there to verse 21. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into," what? "He made into a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones, this is flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Then it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And then I want to read also a portion out of the book of Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 through 33. It says, "So the husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she does" what? "That she respects her husband." Okay, these are two very well-known passages of Scripture, and just about every wedding I have been in, one of them is always read, because it talks about the marital union, it talks about a family unit, a nuclear family unit being formed. It talks about a new home being established. And so this a lot of times is brought up with reference to two people being joined together in marriage. But I want to explain really what this passage means this morning. First of all, somebody tell me what 1 + 1 equals. What is 1 + 1 + 1 equal? 3. Unfortunately, that is not God's idea of marriage mathematics, okay? God's idea is 1 plus a big 1, which is him in the middle, and then another 1, and 1 + 1 + 1 equals 1, all right? And that is God's concept of marriage, that is God's concept of a home, and that is God's concept of what should produce a family. Does that make sense? Not one here and one here and maybe one there once in a while, but one entity is going to produce and reproduce a righteous generation on the face of the earth. That's a whole lot easier said than done. Is that right? That's very challenging. In fact, that is probably, I would say, especially in our society today, that is one of life's biggest challenges, is to have that concept of the fact that we are one and we are going to produce righteousness here upon the face of the earth. I want to explain to you, and maybe this will help us all understand, I want to talk about two key phrases in the scriptures right here, where it talks about leaving and cleaving, because Adam, and this is what happened, and if you want to go to the first frame, this explains something. Two things. What are men created out of? Dirt. Dust. Is that right? What are women created out of? Men. Now, that explains two very fundamental truths for us this morning. That explains why men like dirt. I'm going to tell you that God made them that way. In fact, I happened to be walking out of church that day, and I grabbed this thing right here, this Extreme, the newsletter for Koinonia men, all right? If you are a man and have not gotten one of these, it's very, very well done. I would encourage you to pick one up. And so I was reading through it, and these are some of the catchphrases that I noticed. Guys are into stuff that is on the edge. Loud cars, sports that involve bloodletting, movies with lots of explosions and guts, because God made us that way. Is that right? And then there are other key phrases in here to catch the eye. Shooting clay pigeons, journeying up the mountain, the zip line, extreme sports, eating, 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 more eating, okay? You like that one, didn't you? Okay? Barbecues, games, sports, all kinds of stuff like it says. And this right back here, this picture of this delicious hamburger says, "Give me one of those gut busters, would ya?" You would never see this on a brochure for a women's conference. Because women are not created that way. Men are created, like this says, and it's scriptural, and it's true, and it's right. Men are created to be earthy, to be dirty, to be rough, to do those kinds of things. Because when God created man, and what you have to understand is that in the original language, and I don't have time to go into all that, and y'all don't like Greek anyway, so I'm not going to, or Hebrew, okay? It means that God took, he took ingredients from the earth that he had created. Okay? Like a potter, when a potter takes clay and sets that mass onto a wheel. That is how God created men. And so he literally took the clay of the earth and he formed it and he refined it and he shaped it. And then he took it off of the wheel and he breathed into it. And that is how man was birthed here upon the earth. Isn't that awesome? I think that's amazing. God took some of his creation and he even made it better. And he gave it an eternal being, all right? Now, God did a different thing when he created woman. First of all, he put the man to sleep. I believe he had to do that for a number of reasons, all right? We're going to talk about that right now. And so what he did after that is the Bible says that he opened up man that he had already created, and he took something out of the inside of him. Now, the scripture here says a rib, but if you study the original language of what that word means, it doesn't mean a rib like the ribs that we have in our rib cage. It means a very key inner part of the being of man. Isn't that interesting? There were a lot of things in that microchip inside of him that God took out. All right? He took out something very little, and he did not create woman the way he created man. He created woman kind of the way that God multiplied the loaves and the fishes in the New Testament. In fact, it's the same kind of phraseology. When the little boy brought the loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus had to feed several thousand people, Jesus took those loaves and fishes, and he just said, "Thank you, Lord," and they were created out of nothing. Does that make sense? And they self-multiplied. And that is how God created woman. He didn't take several ingredients and frame her like he did man. He just took woman and he took this entity out of man and woman sprang forth. Now, some of you know about my very limited success with trying to grow plants. All right? My plants do better when I go on vacation or I go on a trip and somebody else takes care of them. I come back and they're blooming and they're happy and they're flowering. And as soon as I start taking it, they just wilt and they just die. I do not have a green thumb. But a few months ago, somebody gave me one of those little grow kits. One of those little tiny tin cans about the size of a soup can. And it was seeds to grow violets. And so somehow I got the harebrained idea that I could really do this and grow violets and that they would live. And so I was bored one morning and made the mistake of thinking, I'm going to try and grow these violets. So I opened up the can and I took out this little tiny seed packet, and there was this little pellet about this big around and about an inch thick. And so I read the directions and it said, place the pellet in a bowl and pour water over it. I thought, okay, that's easy enough. I can do that. So I put the pellet in a bowl. I took some water, and I poured water over it. And you know what happened to that pellet? That pellet started to grow, okay? In fact, I turned my back, and when I turned my back back again, it had already grown out of that one bowl. I had to grab another bowl, okay? I put it into the other bowl. It started, that pellet just about took over my entire kitchen counter. I finally had to get out a kettle and set it in the kettle. And that little tiny pellet ended up being about this much potting soil. That's what happened when God created woman. He took out this little tiny thing out of mankind, and he breathed on her, and she's been trying to take over ever since. That is one of the dynamics of womanhood. That is how we were created. We're like that little pellet. Now, I want to talk about what was in, and we'll call it the rib, because that's what the Bible calls it, okay, in our modern English, although it really means a certain structure and a certain formation of man. There were many, 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 many very detailed composite nuances in that rib that God took out of mankind. For instance, there was nurturing. There was a mother instinct. There was intuition, creativity, sensitivity, tears, hormones, okay? Multitasking abilities, color schemes. There is more than one shade of green. All right? All kinds of words, lots and lots and lots of words. How many of you know that? Women have the capability to produce so many words. You guys, that's why God did not let a woman write the Bible. Did you know that? We would have truckloads of Bible. We would never read the Bible. We'd be back in Genesis with recipes for manna. We would do boardwalk shows for Joseph's coat of many colors. And God said, you know what? I want this to be something small enough that they'll read. So this is a job for the men, because they're just going to focus on the important stuff, the highlights. And the women are just going to have to leave this one alone, because we're full of words. We're full of details. It's all part of that rib factor, all right? So y'all look at one another and say, it's the rib factor. Now I understand. It was in the rib. Now, Adam said something very interesting, and Adam had a very interesting response, because when he woke back up, and the Bible says that God brought the woman to him, Adam looked at her and he said, whoa, man. And then Adam said something very interesting. He said, this came from me. The Bible says that he knew that this being had come from him. In fact, a lot of Bible scholars believe that there was something in his physiology that was permanently changed. A lot of Bible scholars believe, because of the original structure of the language, that Adam, before God chose to divinely separate woman from man, that Adam had within his being the capability to reproduce. He had both male and both female organs. That's very interesting, because God the Father has the ability to reproduce. And that God somehow divinely saw, and this is what a lot of people theorize who have studied this in depth, God somehow divinely saw that this needed to be separated so that they could represent the concept of Christ and the church here on the earth. Isn't that amazing? And so when Adam saw this being, this woman, first of all, he said, this is bone of my bone. This is part of me. This is not another piece of the earth. This is not something else that God pulled out of the universe to create. This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. And he said, and for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, and he will cleave to his wife. Why? Because she is part of him. Isn't that awesome? We are not as spouses, we are not separate entities. We are part of each other because God has designed it that way. That word cleave, let me explain to you what that word cleave means. You might want to write some of this down. It means to stick to adhere. I like this one a lot. To catch by pursuit. Sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? To follow hard after, to pursue hard, and to keep following hard after continually. Wow. In other words, when we commit to a marital relationship, according to the Word of God, it's something that we don't just follow hard after until our wedding day. We are committing before the Lord to continue to follow hard after it and to pursue it for the rest of our lives. It says to pursue and to constantly overtake. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of us in our marriage relationships are constantly pursuing? How many of us understand that that needs to be a lifestyle when we are married? It is not just a pursuit to get married. It is a continual pursuit that we have to have as long as one of us is alive upon the earth. Does that make sense to everybody? And what Adam was saying here is that really this is what the man does. He pursues and he pursues and he pursues and he pursues, and then he keeps pursuing and he keeps pursuing and he keeps pursuing, and the woman responds and responds because this is the way that God designed it to be. And the woman responds and keeps responding and keeps responding and keeps responding, and we have a positive cycle of relationship. Amen? Because that's the way God designed it to be. Unfortunately, the devil has come in and he has stopped the pursuit and he has stopped the response. And that's when we have marital breakdown. And that's when a curse comes upon a society when there is a marital breakdown. I don't have time to talk a whole lot about that this morning, but that is very true. All right? So we have to learn to become in our marriages not just one physical body. Does that make sense? Because we think a lot of times of the one flesh factor. We think of it as having to do exclusively with the physical sexual relationship, when God is not referring to just that. God is referring to oneness in every area. He's referring to spiritual oneness. That's why in the New Testament, he tells us that one of the basic requirements for marriage for believers is that you need to marry another believer. Amen? And that is the minimum that we should do. All right. And then that oneness includes emotional union. And then the oneness includes physical union. There's a reason why God saves in the whole marriage process. There's a reason why he saves physical union until the last part of it, when the marriage is actually consummated. It is because the spiritual union and the emotional union have to be established first in order for the relationship to be healthy. Does that make sense? Now, for those of you that have ever dated, can I just see y'all's hands? You've dated before, all right? You're holding your hands like this. Come on, guys. Okay. Now, think back to when you were dating somebody. All right. What was that relationship full of? Some of you don't want to answer that question. Okay. Let me ask you this. Was it full of pursuit? I heard a big amen out there. Okay. That's good. Was it full of emotional identification? Yes. Was it full of time spent together? Yes. Was it full of conversation? Was it full of trying to figure out what the other person liked and trying to please them and honor them? Yes. Is that true? Yes. That is the dating relationship. All right? Now, most of the time, what happens is that the dating relationship is completely the opposite of the marital relationship, because we live in this society believing that we pursue until we're married and then it stops. Does that make sense? Okay? And when that happens, disintegration and breakdown begins to start. Okay? Or begins. We have to continue to pursue in the marriage relationship. Does that make sense to everybody? That is part of the cleaving that has to happen. Now, let me say, and just like God made men to enjoy dirt and extreme sports, because that's the way God made them, okay? I've seen women try to make their man into a woman. It'll never work. I'm serious. He will never be a woman. He will never be like you. He will never have your emotions. He will never understand your hormones. All right? It is not going to happen. God did not make them that way. Amen? And so, but what we have to understand is that God also created woman a certain way. And this is what we have to remember, is that all of these things were in Adam before God took them out. Does that make sense? That's why Adam says, we're one flesh now. And that whole phrase, one flesh, means that we are now complete. We're conjoined the way I used to be before you became separated from me. Isn't that amazing? And so that is where the completion of the dynamic of the character of God is established in a marriage, established through the way a man is and established through the way a woman is, even though we are very different. And how many know that women are very complicated? Is that right? Just remember that before the rib was taken out, you were complicated like that. It was inside of you. All right? Now, I talked about two things that I really want to focus on. I want to focus on words and emotions. I did a survey a while back with some men, and it was very interesting to hear the responses. I said, you know, what are the dynamics that either shut you down or that you are afraid of when it comes to your spouse or to women in general? One of their responses was their emotional intensity. They just don't know how to deal with that. Now, God gave women emotions for a reason, but I have seen women that try to use the emotional force that God has put within us. I've seen them try to use it negatively. I've seen women that try to use emotions to manipulate. I've seen women that try to use emotions to control, to try and get their own way. And we have to remember, ladies, that even though we were created with emotions, how many of you know that the good thing within you can become bad? In fact, I don't know if y'all heard about the church service that was going on one Sunday, and all of a sudden, the devil just appeared in his full physical form in church. Came up the aisle, came up to the platform. Well, people started screaming and yelling and running, and the congregation left, and the pastor ran out one door, and the worship leader ran out another door, and so the devil started screaming and yelling and telling people he could send him to hell and all this kind of stuff, and people were just leaving. And so a few minutes later, the church was entirely empty except for one older man sitting on the second row. And the devil looked at this man and said, "Aren't you afraid of me?" He goes, "No." He goes, "What do you mean you're not afraid of me? I can make your life miserable for you. I can put curses on you. Doesn't that scare you?" "No." "Well, I can take you to hell. I can do all these evil things to you. Doesn't that scare you?" "No." He said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, I've been married to your sister for about 30 years now." He said, "And I have just learned to tune it all out and keep on going." Okay? And somebody down here said, "Amen." Y'all better not say that too loud. Okay? And so even though, ladies, even though we are very emotional, we have to remember that those same emotions that God has given us to utilize, we have to keep under the subjection and the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is self-control. Amen. Now, I want to talk about, and I really want to focus this morning about the sexual factor, because where sexual issues are concerned, and this is just to help all of us understand how women are wired. Last week, we learned from Roger and Donnie how men are wired. Men are very wired through visual eye gates. And while women also have that eye gates, women are wired, women are stimulated, women are destimulated by different factors and different things. And for women, there is a lot of emotion attached to sexual intimacy. Now, that may be an aha moment for some of you, but that is very true. Because of the way a woman is formed, emotional connectedness is very important to her because she came from man. Do you understand that? And so she wants to go back to man, because that is where she came from. She wants to feel, and she, not just she wants to feel, but she needs to feel, because that's the way God made her. She needs to feel that emotional connectedness, where man doesn't need that emotional connectedness because he was not created from somebody, he was created from something. Does that make sense to everybody? And so you have to understand that a woman is constantly looking for, in a relationship, she's looking for a sense of emotional connection. She's looking for a sense of communication. I saw on TV a while back, on the news, one night, they were talking about a sexual discrimination case with regards to a woman. She had lost her position at a very prestigious university. She had taken the case to court. She had brought it before them. Sexual discrimination, blah, 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 blah. And the final ruling on the case was that she had been awarded $5.7 million. She won the case. All right, now I don't know the ins and outs of the case. I don't know what was right. I don't know what was wrong. I don't know all that. But what was very interesting to me is that the jury panel was made up of 9 women and 3 men, and this is the statement that the female head juror made. And listen if this doesn't make sense. I believe that when it comes to feelings and emotions, you can never put a price on that. Now, I heard that statement, and I grabbed a pen and wrote it down right away because I thought, this woman is speaking a woman's language. All right? And what they had done is they had very effectively presented all of the emotional anguish, all of the feelings, everything that this woman had gone through because of this set of circumstances. And you know what? It convinced 9 other women because they were speaking the same language. Does that make sense? They were in communication. And what they were saying is, we understand that. Because that is at the core of our very being. That is how we are. All right? Now, it's very important, and it's very important for men to understand that. And just like God created men a certain way, God created women a certain way. And neither one is right or wrong. God likes variety. Amen? So I'm going to go on to the second point right here, because we need to talk about a high definition. If we're talking about a high definition understanding of leaving and cleaving, we need to talk about a high definition now of communication. All right? And let me say that men and women communicate in very different ways. How many of you have ever figured that out? All right? When a man says, for instance, I don't have anything to wear, what he means is, I don't have anything clean to wear, all right? When a woman says, I don't have anything to wear, she means she's looking at the closet and she's saying, I don't have anything new to wear. Amen? All right? Same phrase, 2 entirely different meanings. Ladies, when your husband tells you at night that he wants to go to bed, it doesn't mean that he's tired. It doesn't mean that he wants to go to sleep. All right? We say something, but because we have layers of communication as males and females. We are very different. A couple months ago, Andrew and Carrie went on a vacation. And so they came back from the vacation, And I happened to run into Carrie one morning. I said, "Carrie, how was your vacation?" And this is what she said. She said, "Oh, it was very good. It was very relaxing. We had lots of downtime. We were able to relax. We played on the beach. We just kind of chilled. And we talked for less than 1 minute. But in 1 minute's time, I had a connection to their concept of vacation." Does that make sense, everybody? I knew what they did. I kind of knew about the ebb and flow of their vacation. I knew what the activities were like. And I walked away with a pretty good concept in my mind of how they spent their vacation. About 3 hours later, I ran into Andrew. I said, "Andrew, how was your vacation?" He said, "It was good." Now, I'm sure that if he would have said that to another man, they would have gone, "Okay, good, yeah, that's I understand good, okay? You know what, guys? A woman doesn't understand good. When you come home from work at night and your wife says, "How was your day?" and you say, "Good," that's not good, okay? Now, it might have been totally good, but she's not looking for good. She's looking for emotional reconnection. Does that make sense? Because the rib has been away all day long, okay? And she's got to reconnect. I'm very serious, all right? And she's got to reconnect if there's going to be some physical reconnection later on. Aha! Let's all say that together. Aha! Does that make sense to everybody? All right? For a woman, ladies and gentlemen, the sexual experience begins when she wakes up in the morning. All right? It begins with your contact and your conversation with her throughout the day, if possible. It begins with how you leave the house. Oh, amen. It begins with how you come home at night. It begins with all of you, how you reconnect. The woman's sexual experience doesn't just take place, oh my word. We'll talk about that in just a minute, all right? It doesn't just take place in the bedroom. The woman's sexual experience, it goes through a grid of emotions that are going on continually all day long. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay? For her, it is more of a continual process. And a lot of people have talked to me, I've talked to a lot of people who experience sexual frustrations in marriage. I've talked to women at conferences, I've talked to couples at conferences, I've prayed with people. And most of the time, it has to do with a lack of understanding about how the other one is made. All right? Now, if we are going to be effective, responsible communicators, which is part of a good marriage relationship, then we have to understand that emotional connectedness is a critical need for a woman in the sexual relationship, all right? And we also have to understand that communicators who learn to speak the other language have the most successful and productive relationships. I want to talk about that for just a minute, because I was traveling a few months ago, and I was going to Mexico to minister at a conference, and I flew into the airport in Mexico City, and I was in the airport waiting for my hosts to come and pick me up. And so I was just kind of standing there watching and watching people, and off to one side, there was a car rental agency, little counter area, and there was a man standing behind the counter. And so this American man went up to this counter and said to this man behind the counter, who was obviously Mexican, he said to him in English, he said, "Do you have a 16-seat passenger van that I can rent?" Well, the Mexican guy couldn't speak English. And so he just kind of gives the guy a blank stare and goes, I no. And so the American man said, "I said, do you have a 16-seat passenger van that I can rent?" Like, just like that. And the guy goes, I don't understand. The guy said, "I said, do you have," and that's exactly what he did, "do you have a 16-seat passenger van that I can rent?" Well, I thought, you know, this guy is going to think that all Americans are crazy and rude, so I'm going to help him out. So I went up to the man. I said, excuse me. I said, I speak Spanish, and I think I can help you out. So I said to the man behind the counter, I said, él quiere saber si usted tiene disponible una camioneta de 16 pasajeros para rentar. As soon as I said that, the guy's eyes light up. He smiles. He nods. Oh, sí. And he starts going on his computer and pulling out some folders and stuff like that. Okay, the problem, you guys, was not that he was unable or unwilling to help. The problem was that he didn't understand the man's language. Does that make sense? Males and females have different languages. And to have a very highly successful marital relationship in every area of one flesh, it would behoove all of us to learn how to speak the language of the other person. Because what happens is we start screaming and yelling and we become hostile in our own language, and the person still has no idea what we're trying to say. And so then we start assuming that they are against us. Is that right? That's when tension develops. That's when walls go up. When really the problem is not that they are against us or unwilling to help or unwilling to accommodate us. It's just that we are so busy yelling in our own language that we are not communicating effectively. That's very important. That is very important, especially for women, because women have a way of communication that is very different than men. I saw a reality. I'm not much of a TV watcher, just because I don't have the time, but I happened to have something on in the night, and I wandered out of the room to do something else, and so I heard what was going on the TV, and I came back to watch it, and it was one of those reality TV shows, all right? And it was showing this very intense, tense conversation between a man and a woman. And this is what they were saying, actually between a husband and a wife. And this is what they were saying, and this is what I caught. The woman was saying to the man, the things that you have said to me, all right? Things that cut me down, things that humiliate me, hurt me and wound me deep inside. Right, and we need to hear what she's saying, because that is the core of who she is. Does that make sense? She said, those things I will carry with me forever. And that's a real dramatic statement, and you know, we probably need to talk to her about forgiveness and some stuff like that. But what she was saying right there is you have hurt the very motivation of who I am. All right? And she was saying it with a lot of intensity and a lot of emotion, and she was yelling. And this is what the man yelled back at her. All right, because it was a very emotionally fraught moment. The man said to her, the respect that I need from you. Ooh, key phrase. All right. I see you give it to total strangers, but you do not give it to me. Now, why is it so quiet in here? Okay? Now, what was so interesting about that scene was that both of them were yelling and screaming to the other person what their deepest, and without even realizing it, what their deepest God-given need was. And they were so busy speaking in their own language that they did not even hear what the other person was trying to say. If we're going to be good communicators, especially in marriage, we need to learn to listen to the language of our spouse. That will be one of the key things that will keep your marriage fires alive. And let me ask you, do you listen to your spouse? Do you know what your spouse's needs are? Because this is another thing that I have come across ministering a lot in conferences, is that a lot of spouses feel, both men and women, a lot of spouses feel that their valid needs are tolerated but not embraced. That's very sad. That's very sad, because what happens is the opposite sex doesn't understand that for me, this is a very valid need. And so they tolerate it. And again, I'm not talking about just men. I'm talking about men and women. And so they don't understand that this is what I need. This is what I've got to have, because this is the way that God made me. and I feel tolerated the way that God made me instead of embraced. When you get married, you are the only person that can legitimately fulfill some of your spouse's needs. Now think about that. And when you stand before the Lord, are you going to be able to say, I did that to the best of my ability? I tried to accept this person the way that you created them, even though they are not like me. I will say from dealing with women that a lot of women feel like their husbands don't understand the dynamic of their day, especially where small children are concerned. You know, there's a season in my life for several years that I did nannying. All right, not babysitting. If I'd had a little more insight and English accent, I could have made a TV program and made a lot of money. But I didn't know about that back then, okay? And so the difference between nannying and babysitting is when you're nannying, you're contracted. We contracted out, it's signing your contract usually, where you would go in and really try and train and educate and teach the children and really do a lot of stuff that parents should be doing. But I worked for a lot of parents that didn't really want to take the time or the investment in their children's lives, and that's very sad. But I learned something during those years, especially when the children were small, and I dealt with children from as young as 6 weeks old up to about ages 12 and 13. I learned that at the end of the day, all right, that from dealing with children all day long, that my emotions were very depleted. Now, how many women can relate to that? Okay, that your emotions become very depleted. And again, guys, we need to remember that a woman has an emotional well that has to be constantly refilled, all right? Somehow in the course of the day, when I had to say, you go to the bathroom, did you aim, did you flush, and did you wash, all right? It lost its charm after a certain number of times. Okay, when you try and learn, this is back in the days of VCRs, when you figure out that they figured out before you did that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich goes easily into the VCR slot and it goes in a lot easier than it comes out, okay? And you deal with stuff like that all day long, and what you really want to do at night is you want to talk to someone and you want to have some interaction with somebody that has an adult brain. Does that make sense? Ladies, you know what I mean? All right? Because you have to have some kind of emotional escape from everything that has been taxing your emotions all day long. And so what happens is that generally the spouse will come home. All right? And I've had a lot of women tell me, my husband just does not, they say, well, what did you do all day long? You just stayed home. And I tell you what, those words will start World War III someday. I'm convinced. Okay? In fact, did you guys hear about the story of the man and the woman, Christian man and woman, that got into a big, bad argument one night because of the same issue? And the husband just could not understand why the wife was so tired at night and really couldn't pay attention to some of his needs and physical needs and desires and whatnot. And they're just frustrated. So, and she just said, well, you don't know what I have to deal with all day long. And he said, well, you're just home. And I go away to work and I work very hard. And then you just stay home with the kids. And so they got in a very big, big argument. And so they were going to go to bed. They knew that they couldn't go to bed angry. So they decided to pray. So they knelt down by the bed. And the husband said, God, you know, I'm just really frustrated because I don't feel like my wife understands me. And she doesn't understand what I need. And she doesn't take care of my valid needs. And so I pray that you would just we could help us to trade places for one day so that she understands, okay? Make her into the man. Make me into the woman so that she can understand what my world is like. And they went to sleep. And God answered their prayer. And the next morning when he woke up, he discovered that he was not he anymore, he was she, okay? And she discovered that she was now the he, all right? And so he woke up, except that he had to wake up very, very early because he had to get two kids up and get them ready for school and get them dressed and make them breakfast. and take them off to school, and then had to take the baby to the doctor because the baby had an ear infection, and then had to go by the cleaners and pick up some dry cleaning, and they went to Buzz and D's shop in Lemoore to do that, okay? And then had to come back home and clean up the house just a little bit, all right, and then had to run back out, pick the kids up from school, bring the kids back, take the son to soccer practice, and take the little girl to ballet, and then come back, and oh, it was time to think about dinner, so we had to stop at the grocery store on the way home, and then they got home, and then we had to fix dinner, and then help the kids with the homework, and get them ready for bed, and the husband, who had been the wife, came home after a day working out on some projects and having lunch with some associates, and came home and sat in the chair and read the paper. And so the wife had to frantically finish up some laundry, kind of pull the house together, get the kids to bed, and she was exhausted. But the husband, who had been the wife, but was now the husband, wanted to go to bed, but he didn't want to go to sleep, okay? And so he just wanted to spend some romantic, intimate time with his wife. Well, the wife had been the husband, so she knew how important this was. And so she was exhausted, but okay, I'm going to be a good wife, I'm going to do this. And so they had some time together, and she fell asleep exhausted in the bed. And the next morning, very early, woke back up. And she opened her eyes and said, God, I'm calling out to you right now. God, please make me back into a man. I promise you that I will help my wife. I promise you that I will understand her more. I promise you that I will identify more with her emotions and what she does during the day and everything that she has. Just God, please, please let her be the wife and please make me into the husband. It's a desperate cry for help. And God spoke. God said, okay, I will answer your prayer. But you're going to have to wait for about 9 months because last night you got pregnant. And I have to say that I don't know of a man that wants to identify with a woman through pregnancy and labor. Well, say amen to that. Okay? Now, real quickly, I want to talk about some intimacy busters, all right? And I want us to go over and look at the marital bedroom suite here. My. Huh. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as far as how many people can identify with this. Okay, Steelers fan would have a bedroom that looks like this. If it was a Broncos fan, it'd be different. Okay? somebody tell me, is there anything in this scene that says intimacy? Is there anything in this scene? What did he say? Okay, we have a man down here that says the motor oil. All right? Is there anything in this scene that says romance? No. Well, maybe a flower back there, okay? We have, we got quite a bit of stuff here. Oh my word. Ooh, that needs to go out. I want to talk a little bit about the stress factor, and I had some stuff. If I could find where in the world I put it. Don't know whose bedroom this is. Good night. Well, here's the Bible. It's got dust on it. Hadn't been read for a while. Okay. Oh. I want to talk about the stress factor in relationships. This is written by a medical doctor. It says, for a long time, I was the king of stress clutter in my home. I received so much important material, books, articles, magazines, journals, videos, and more, that I felt I had to read it all. I couldn't bring myself to throw any of it away. I had stacks of it everywhere because it was all, quote, indispensable, unquote. A normal desk wouldn't accommodate it, so I had to get a huge table to use for a desk. Then the clutter migrated like the blob to the kitchen table and to the bedroom and everywhere else. I piled books and articles around the house, even in my bedroom, creating knee-high stacks wherever I went. My wife and I would walk into the kitchen, my office, our bedroom, or anywhere in the house, and immediately feel stressed out. Neither of us could stand to be in those places. Carrie told me we were sitting on the front row just a few minutes ago, and she says, I look at that and I get stressed. All right? You know, when you we have to remember that leaving and cleaving, that physical intimacy is a very important part of a marital relationship. All right? And we have to plan for that cleaving process. I have some very good friends who are, actually, they're in the ministry together. They're in business together. They have three children that they're raising. And she told me one time, she said, in our home, because she said, we do so much together, and there are so many factors in our lives, that she said, we have to create a place and an environment that is just for us, that is just for our relationship. And she said that environment is our bedroom. Because she said, we cannot go in, and especially her as the woman, because she sees stuff like this, and she immediately wants to clean it up. Because that's a lot of times, that's part of the nesting instinct that God has put, and he's built that within a woman. Does that make sense, everybody? And so she sees this, and she wants to clean it up. In fact, I have another good friend that calls this area that around the bed itself, she calls it the kill zone. Because she said, something that for me kills any sense of romance or sexual desire is when I walk into that room and I trip over my husband's shoes that he's left by the bed. Now, maybe some people won't understand that, but that is just her. That is how she is, all right? What we want to do, again, is to respect the valid needs of the other person. Do you know what your spouse's trigger points are? Both the positive ones and the negative ones. I remember Pastor Blake one time said that the sound of the dishwasher would get on his nerves and it would set him on edge. And so Rena would run the dishwasher in the morning instead of at night because he would be stressed out. Different ones of us, we have different trigger points that set us off. We have different things that cause us to feel alienated, that cause us to shut down romantically. And I would say that within a marriage relationship, you have to be creative in maintaining the pursuit. There is a reason why romantic restaurants are romantic. I have never to this day seen a restaurant that is romantic look something like that. Okay? Because mood is very important. Atmosphere is very important. Lighting is very important. These things are critical. And we can't have the picture-perfect room all of the time. Life happens. There are things that happen in our lives. All right? But we need to be creative in our relationships about understanding the factors that come into our intimacy and working together to maintain those factors. And if necessary, to create a place in the home that is a safe haven and a safe environment for them. Amen? And understanding that to women, again, because of communication, because of emotions, because the way a woman is wired, this is very, very important to them. All right? And this, I would say, if I were to ask a lot of women, this just does not urge you on sexually to look at that. Does it, ladies? Does that excite you in any way physically to spend any time with your spouse? No. All right? And so we need to work together to create that. And I'm going to have to stop here because our time is out. So I want to ask you, let's all stand, please. You have the answers to the rest of the blanks. And I want to ask everyone if you would close your eyes. You know, I believe that there are some women here this morning who are very dry emotionally. And you feel pretty drained. And just the ebb and flow of your day, your well, your emotional well, is dry. I believe that there are also some men here today, and you are in a marriage where you don't feel particularly respected. You don't feel like you are able to lead. I think that there are marriages this morning where there are certain frustrations and barriers built between the spouses. And I want to say to you that the most spiritual thing that you could do today would not necessarily be to come home or come forward for prayer, but it would be to go home and to have a conversation with your spouse that may be difficult. But in order to restore one flesh to your marriage, you need to have it. In order for some of the walls to come down that have been built up, that the enemy will use to try and destroy what God has joined together. Father, I lift up every person today under the sound of my voice. God, I lift up those who don't have any sense of emotion left, those who feel uncommunicated with. Lord Jesus, those who don't feel respected. Lord God, those who are hurting. And Father, I lift up the marriages where there may be walls that are built between the spouses. In the name of Jesus, I pray for healing to come right now. I pray for the oil of the Holy Spirit to start to pour. And I pray for healing and restoration. God, I pray that we would return to that commitment that man and woman made in the garden to leave and to cleave, to continually adhere to, Lord God, not just to be one flesh in the physical sense, but one flesh in the emotions, one flesh in communication. Lord God, one unit, one entity that is complete and balanced and moving forward in the right direction, Lord Jesus, so that we can establish righteousness here on the earth in our generation, in Jesus' name. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. Father, I pray for courage to talk about difficult issues. I pray for courage to address things that need to be addressed. Father, I pray that crooked places would be made straight. I pray that rough places would be made smooth. And God, I pray for a returning to our first love today. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. And everyone said, amen. You know, on your way out, I would like to recommend two very good books that I believe we have for sale out in the lobby. One is called His Needs, Her Needs. Excellent book that talks about the basic needs of males and females and how they are different, how we need to learn about them and minister to them. Another one that is called Love and Respect. A woman's greatest need is love. A man's greatest need is respect in a marriage relationship. These two books are excellent. They will help you tremendously. Have an awesome day. You've been an awesome audience. Thank you very much. God bless you.